Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today, and we greet each of you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust and pray today that your cup is abundantly running over with the presence and the goodness and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I have said so many times, we are afforded the opportunity anytime we desire to have an audience with God. All we have to do is find a place to go and kneel and pray and speak with him and talk with him, sup with him, fellowship with him. My, what a loving Redeemer that we serve, who makes provision for us that we can be in his presence anytime we desire. I pray that you will take advantage of the many opportunities that you have to be in the presence of the Lord. Days of adversity are going to arise. This is 2024. No one knows the gravity, the magnitude of events that will take place in the earth, unless God would show and reveal that to them. Throughout the many years, God has revealed himself to certain people, shown them the impending judgment of God that would come to this nation. You know, I'm going back and rereading much of the book of Jeremiah. And God knows everything that's going to happen. He knows exactly how people are going to respond. Thus he says, my thoughts toward you are not evil, but good to an expected end, there in Jeremiah 29:11. After Jerusalem is burned to the ground, razed and leveled, he said, you'll go back, you'll reestablish yourselves in Jerusalem, but while you're in Babylon, build houses, plant vineyards, raise children. The plan of God is like nothing else we could ever imagine. It is so vast. It is voluminous. Every detail, God knows every minuscule detail of everything that's going to transpire and take place. It's up to us as believers to get into the place where we can be in the presence of God. The coming days are going to demand that we be in the presence of the Lord. It will be the presence of God that will sustain us and will keep us. God is going to move. God is going to move in a very powerful way. We're going to see this move. We're going to witness this move. And you want to be on the right side of God when he moves. This is why Jeremiah was on the right side. Jeremiah was on the right side of God, and God even showed him what to do. I was reading there in Jeremiah 32, chapter 32 of Jeremiah, where he admonished Jeremiah to buy a piece of land. And I thought, God is even concerned about your real estate dealings. He told Jeremiah to buy this particular piece of land. Why? He said, because one day you will return. All of Israel will return to Jerusalem. I said all of Israel, not necessarily all, but as the nation they would return. Some would, of course, die in Babylon, just like Zedekiah. He did not return. But he knew the nation of Israel would return back to Jerusalem. And so he admonished Jeremiah to buy a piece of property just prior to it being destroyed. Now that's wisdom relative to investing. You can find all this, as I said, in the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. They recorded the deeds, just like you would at a courthouse. There was record of these things. Jeremiah 32:44, men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witness in the land of Benjamin. That phrase, subscribe evidences, means they will record these deeds. And then the last phrase there in verse 44, I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. In other words, you're coming back here. So you make a investment now under the judgment of God, meaning the land is a lot worth a lot less because everything was going to be burned and destroyed. But I see, and God knows my heart, I don't say this in contempt or disrespect, but I see the genius of God in so many ways. This is why if you serve the Lord, you love the Lord, you live for Christ, He will order your steps and you will prosper. I don't preach on prosperity. I live prosperity. You walk with God, you will be prosperous. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Never. Never. We need to understand that because God does bless His people. I do want to make mention of our upcoming revival meeting, Hickory, North Carolina, September the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. I please encourage you to come be with us. I believe it will be a time of refreshing, a time of encouragement, a time of strength. God wants you to be strengthened, that you can endure until the end and finish your race and your course with joy. God will help us if we will merely get into His presence and seek His counsel, seek His advice, seek His guidance. Thinking about Jeremiah purchasing that land, and then you look at Proverbs 1:25, you have said it naught, all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. How many people get good counsel from God, good advice from God, and then they squander it? How many times has God said to people, don't do that? You're unequally yoked. Don't marry that person. Don't do that. And yet they go and do it anyway. And then they wonder why they suffer severe consequences. It's very simple, because it was an act of disobedience. God does not bless disobedience. Let me say that again. God does not bless, God does not reward disobedience. He blesses, He rewards obedience. That's why He said to Samuel, or when Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifices. You can make a plethora of sacrifices, and think that somehow will merit you something with God. It will not merit you anything. It is obedience. Obedience demonstrates how you honor God and how you love God. Disobedience demonstrates the exact opposite. You don't really love him. You don't honor him. You disobey him. You don't keep his commandments. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's that word if again. If you love me. You know, I hear that all the time. My wife got a phone call a few weeks ago from a lady. She wanted to order some material. And she said, does your husband take people's phone calls? She said, well, it depends on what it is. Well, my boyfriend is very, very knowledgeable of the Word of God. He would just like to talk to Pastor Langford. And my wife said, well, give me his number. And she said, well, it's the same as mine. And my wife said, so you guys live together? She said, yes, we're shacking up. You may be too young to understand what shacking up is. And my wife said, oh, I understand what shacking up is. She said, but if my husband calls him, he's not going to talk to him about the scriptures. He's going to talk to him about his lostness. You cannot shack up, cohabitate, and be right with God. Now, I know there would be those who will say, well, you know, that's not God's best. No, that is sin. And fornicators do not inherit the kingdom of God. And I've heard all of the arguments. Well, the Bible doesn't address shacking up. It doesn't address living together. Oh, but it does. It's because people are too shallow relative to the scriptures and the Word of God. So they don't know what the Bible says regarding those kinds of sin. Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envyings, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You may have caught it, you may not have caught it. But Paul expressly addresses shacking up when he uses the phrase, not in chambering and wantonness. Look up the word chambering in the Greek. It talks about sexual relationship. It talks about having sex on a couch. I would give you all the definition, but I want to be diplomatic, so you look it up. You look it up. I'll stop at that point, but there's even more graphic details in the Greek concerning the word chambering. Oh, yes, God does address shacking up, my friends. And you can shack up and believe you're right with God, but be not deceived. Fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I challenge everyone listening to me today, look up the word chambering in your strong, exhaustive concordance. I'm a Bible student. I study profusely. I study words. Etymology is the term. Etymology, meaning the origin. How did this word come to fruition? How did it come together to be used in this manner? Etymology. You look up the words, they'll tell you so many things. But you see, today people are so shallow in the word, when God specifically, Paul specifically addressed shacking up when he used the term chambering. Chambering. You ever heard of the phrase bed chamber? I think you get the point. I remember someone years ago sent me a little clip, wanted me to watch it, Preachers of L.A. And they had all these strumpet-looking women sitting at a dinner table. Said, the Bible does not address shacking up. The Bible does not speak against it or about it. So it's okay. Well, is it okay to fornicate? It does have that word there. But if you were deep into the scriptures, deeper knowledge, deeper understanding, you would see there are so many things that the Bible addresses that we don't even think it does. That's why we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. No, I would not discuss scriptures with a man that is shacking up. I would tell him he's lost, he's undone, he's living in sin. He needs to repent and get right with God. Once you become a dedicated, consecrated Christian, I might consider speaking with you concerning the scriptures. But when you're living in sin, my conversation is going to be merely, get right with God. Get out of your sin. Get your life washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you start living right. Because if you don't even know what's right and wrong, how do you think you know what's right and wrong relative to the scriptures? And when you can live in sin and your conscience not bother you, your conscience has become seared. But see, everybody looks for a way. I shouldn't say everybody, but most people look for a way to justify what they're doing. No, I want to be right with God in every sense of the word. David said in Psalms 32 and verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity or doesn't charge with iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That's a powerful phrase. In whose spirit there is no guile. If your spirit has no guile, no lie, no cheating, no hypocrisy, nothing of that nature, and you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, then your flesh will not be full of guile. But it begins in your spirit first. There must be no guile in your spirit. And then if you walk with God and allow the Spirit of God to have preeminence in your life, it will not come through your flesh. But if you don't walk with God, if you're not led by the Spirit, Jesus said, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your spirit wants to tell the truth. Your spirit wants to live the truth. Your spirit wants to be honest. But will you allow your flesh to be so strong that it overrides your spirit and the Holy Spirit, and therefore guile gets into your spirit? And then it is exercised, manifest through your flesh. This stuff is not rocket science. It's just being truthful. It's being honest. In whose spirit there is no guile. Nathaniel said that about Christ. We're talking about redemption, retribution, and rewards. Here in Psalms 37, I do want to go back one more time. I don't mean to be redundant and wear you out with verse 29, but there's a couple more things I want to share about the new heaven and the new earth. Thus David says in Psalms 37, 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. The redeemed, the blood-bought, the immortal ones, and the ones who go into eternity as mortal humans living right will live eternity in that manner. And as I shared with you, I believe it was last Tuesday when we concluded about New Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. He told John, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He showed me New Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. But New Jerusalem is a magnificent city, not only with its vast, sprawling width